Hey, friends. Welcome to the Walking with Kelly and Christy podcast. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Christy. We are two sisters who love Jesus, and we are committed to walking out our faith one step at a time. This season, we want to focus on the importance of walking with a game plan.
We are so glad you have joined us on the Walking with Kelly and Christy podcast. We are in season three, which is Walking with a Game Plan. And we are so honored to have some guests with us today. And if you remember way back when we started in episode three, Shannon Cannon joined us and she talked all about wigs and worship
and waiting.
And it was an absolute joy. And we know our listeners loved you, Shannon. Yes. We heard from them and just what you shared resonated with so many. That was a time for us. It was pre-deep brain stimulation. I knew shaving my head was a reality, and Shannon just provided so much encouragement for me. And so here we are again, but not only do we have Shannon with us, we have her husband, Scott. Yes. And so they are here joining us today, helping us as we discuss and ponder and walk out what it means to walk with a game plan.
That's right. And one of the things that I know Kelly and I have discussed off the microphone is our core values and our core beliefs and how those two things go hand in hand for us to even be able to walk out our faith. And so, yes, we are so excited to have you here at the table. And we are just expectant of what God is going to speak through you to us and to our listeners. And so welcome, Scott and Shannon Cannon, to the table.
Thank you for having us back. I know I had a blast when I was here with you months ago. And when Kelly and I talked before the holidays and just were sharing some things that were going on in our lives and talking about our families. And when I heard what you all were looking forward to in your new season of walking by faith and or walking with the Lord and a core value being by faith, you know, Kelly and I were discussing just some things, again, that our family was going through, and it's faith that has gotten us through. And so she said, why don't you and Scott come on and just talk, which, again, this is not going to be difficult because faith has just been a core to our testimony and how God has used us. So thank you again for having us.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it was so wonderful to be with your parents last night and to catch up on life. And, you know, one of the things that we have all realized, life is definitely a journey. Every day there's something different, every month, every year, and try to plan, but then God has his plans, you know. And for Shannon and I, this journey of faith, the two of us come together. I'm the practical one about the journey. Shannon is the adventurous one. And her adventurous faith has got us into some trouble sometimes.
I don't know about trouble, but
fun.
But we have enjoyed it. And, you know, God has really taught us through the years the importance of faith. And you can only understand faith by living in faith. And by nature, I'm a planner, and God has had to break me down through the years to help me understand, you know, his word that says many are the plans in a man's heart, but God orders the steps. And I've had to learn that because I've tried to plan ahead of God sometime, and God has had to say, hey, God, it's time to slow down. But faith journey for us really started in our point of salvation years ago, but now being a believer for now 40 years,
You're getting old.
Yes, I am. And thank goodness this is not video or you can see the gray hairs. But, you know, it's kind of surreal to be back at Old Fort because God used Old Fort in an amazing way. I didn't really know it then, but now that I look back 16 years later, I can see where God really challenged me because it was here where I believe God asked me to take one of the greatest steps of faith that I had ever taken. That was to resign from a completely great job where everything in the church was going great. We loved the community. We had actually talked about, man, this would be a great place to retire. We're 20, 25 minutes to the beach. And so we loved it. And then God, over a period of 2 or 3 months, began to say, I need you to trust me. And then we did, long story short, stepped out of faith with nowhere to go.
Right.
And, you know, my father taught me, son, you don't leave a good job until you have another job.
Right.
And, logical.
Yes, yeah. Logical, very practical, but there's no faith in that. And so we did, and God began to put us on a journey and continued to grow that faith over the next weeks and months till I stepped into my last pastorate for 13 or 14 years. And I probably would have not moved to the mountains of Northeast Tennessee from the oceans of South Carolina.
not in and of our own strength. We were extremely comfortable in our physical, spiritual, everything about us was comfortable living here. We loved it. And so we say that now, living where we've been, which has been excellent, is where we have raised our kids. It was not our plan, but it was God's plan, and it's been great. But we have said many times, I don't know if we would have chosen to leave in and of our own strength. And so it was the prompting of the Lord. And then it was, we talk about stepping out in faith, and I'm listening to Scott talk about it. And, you know, somebody that may be listening may be saying, I don't know what you mean when you talk about faith. What does faith mean? And my father is a pastor, and growing up in a pastor's home, there's a lot of biblical answers that you can give, but something that I remember that's so simple that he used in teaching about faith was an acrostic. And you use the word faith, and faith, when you put it in an acrostic, means forsaking all, I trust him. And I remember that over, and I have remembered that since a child, but I remember that constantly. My word for this year is trust. And Christy, I was listening to one of your podcasts, and you talked about that word, and you were giving a couple of other meanings for the word trust, and it hit me, and you said wait, it's waiting. And that's where Scott and I have found ourselves again in our journey of faith. We are forsaking all, I trust him. That sounds simple. Just trust God. Just trust God. But the waiting, the complete surrender, the what is next, and then even when we do know what the next is, the stepping out in faith is like jumping off of a ledge into the, you know, this like great abyss. This, where am I going? But God has been faithful over and over to catch us time and time again. He's been right there. And so we trust him to continue to do that in the future.
Yeah, because, you know, one of the things that in life as a believer, we read God's word, and then you have to live it out. And, you know, in Hebrews 11, the faith chapter has really become very real to me and to us and even to our families, because our steps of faith have directly impacted our children and our grandchildren. Because while we're trying to be faithful to that journey, some of those steps look crazy, don't make sense, you know, and our kids are asking, what are you doing? Shannon said that I'm getting older. I am. And, you know, and I should be slowing down some, but we really feel as energized as ever to keep moving forward. So rather than stay comfortable within the community of our children's, God's asked us to move and to relocate to Chattanooga, another step of faith. And so I left here in 08, step of faith. God opened the door to pastor at Pump Springs in Harrogate, Tennessee. once again, as I ended the ministry there, it was not a journey from one ministry to the next. God said again, you need to step out with nowhere to go. And I can remember asking Shannon, would God ask us to do that again?
And I was the oh ye of little faith because I said, I am not sure about that. Yes. Would God ask us to do that again?
Yes. And, you know, Scripture says in Hebrews, and it's impossible to please God without faith. Mm-hmm. So if we want to please Him, we've got to live by faith. Mm-hmm. And for years, I was preaching and teaching about faith. I had taught my congregation Hebrews 11 with all the biblical men and women of living a life of faith. And when I resigned, I can remember even telling them, church, it's time for me as your spiritual leader, your shepherd, to do the very thing that I've asked you to do. And that's to step out and to live by faith, not knowing what was next. But God, who's always faithful, you go through those things as a husband and as a father. You're thinking, okay, God. And you have these conversations. I bet you all have had these conversations with God. You say, but God, how am I going to pay the bills? God, what about medical insurance? Lord, these monthly bills that continue to come, Lord, how am I going to take care of those kind of things? And of course, God is sitting there on His throne and He's nodding like, I know all these things,
God. I can handle it all.
Yes.
I'm in control of it all.
Yes, and He's faithful, and He's just proven Himself over and over and over to us. And so we found ourselves now through those journeys of faith, stepping out, stepping into a new position to be a part of a missions agency and to care for their missionaries and then to be involved as the executive director. And, you know, and here we are today at another point of faith. You know, the first two moments of those major faith challenges, we felt compelled to step out in faith. But now we find ourselves in a situation where we've been encouraged to step out in faith. Not so much by our own choosing, by someone else's choosing, but the God who was faithful in 08 is the same God that's faithful in 21. Is the same God that's going to be faithful in 23 and 24. And so we just trust Him to move forward because there's things that we can do to step forward in our faith. There's things that we can do to step back. And to remain where you are sometimes is dangerous. And so I'm learning because of Shannon through the years, 33 years of marriage, she's taught me to be a little bit more adventurous. Someone that's wound very tight, I'm learning to be more comfortable in less resistant.
In the uncomfortable.
And sometimes we've learned that's the greatest place to be because that's where God has grown us the most.
Mm-hmm. This world does not like uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. It's hard to sit in uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. And for us, the uncomfortable, you know, we had just 8 months ago made the hardest decision for me emotionally in my life was to move from Harrogate, Tennessee, where all my children were, all my grandbabies were, a community that we had lived in, raised our kids. And so now God's challenged us to step out of faith and to relocate to Chattanooga, Tennessee, which is only 2.5 hours. I mean, it's not that far, but I felt like we were moving to another world.
Taking me away from the grandbabies.
Yeah. And so we followed God on that journey, that adventure. We literally moved to Chattanooga. The only people that I knew were the people in our office. So here we were at this pace, this season in life, basically felt like we're starting over with friends. And there's so many humorous stories there. We've been a part of the local church our entire marriage, and we've gone to churches where we've served, and we've always had sheep. We had congregation. We had members that cared for us, and we cared for them. But so for the first time, we were looking for a church with lay eyes, and we started visiting a local church, and then we decided to go to one of their campuses, and we're sitting outside in the parking lot. And Shannon, she's laughing because we who've been in the local church
leading
our entire life, you know, in Shannon, even before then, because her father's a pastor, we're sitting in the parking lot and we are nervous and anxious.
About going in church.
Yes.
We were scared. I'm like, what is wrong with us? Yeah. You've been the pastor and we're scared to go into the church. So.
And so our journey of faith has taken us from the pulpit to literally to the front door of the church and the pews. And so we're standing at the front doors now serving our church and greeting people with a smile and welcoming them, because all the things that I assumed as a pastor and as a minister that people knew for the first time is a realization. I had never really thought like they thought. And so the journey of faith, and then we move, we relocate. We'd lived in an apartment for a small apartment for 6 months in another journey of faith. We purchased a house finally there, and then everything happened, and I was forced with another challenge and a step of faith to encourage to step away from my present position in which I was. And so here we are, you know, a season of life. The house is empty. Children are going different directions. And so here we are. And so I started having those same conversations. God, don't you know I just moved here? Lord, I just purchased a home. And of course, once again, God nodding again, saying, Scott, I know all those things. And so this journey of faith, as Shannon was talking about, her word trust. And boy, we really are trusting God for what's next. And for me this year, I couldn't narrow it down to just one word. So my words are look and listen. You know, my spiritual eyes and my spiritual ears are just wide open. And we literally are open to absolutely anything the Lord wants for us. I mean, I'm at a point now, I'm just standing still. That waiting is wearing me out. If I even knew remotely which direction to step into, I would step that way, but I just don't know. So my prayer, you know, God's taught me through this journey of faith to be so much more dedicated in my commitment to prayer. My prayer life for a number of years as a Christian, as a believer, was just random. I mean, it's consistent, but random. But now I'm very faithful to a consistent plan of prayer. And every morning I say, like, Lord, open my eyes today. It's Psalm 119. Open my eyes today that I might see the wonderful truths of your law. And give me, you know, he says in Scripture often, he who has ears, let him hear. And so, God, today, would you open my spiritual ears that I might hear from you, or just in conversations with people, just something that might just snap in my brain and go, that is the direction. Mm-hmm. And I'm ready.
Yeah.
And Shannon's ready.
Yeah, and I think that is the life of faith. And so, you know, just trusting God and being ready is the life of faith, is saying, God, I put my yes on the table. Yeah. We're open. We may not always understand. Our plans are not your plans. Typically, they are not, because we want to take control. And so that's where we find ourselves right now. And there's some practical things I know for myself that I do that help me to remain and to stay focused on living by faith. So maybe after the break, I can share some things that
Perfect.
I do there.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back, Shannon and Scott. We are so thankful that you're just sharing some real life practical things with us about what walking with faith looks like, and just your own transitions through ministry and being a part of the church, the local church. I loved what you said about God just taking you from the pulpit to the pew, and your eyes are so much wiser than probably most of us sitting on the pew. And I'm just thinking of how beneficial if you were sitting in my church, just to be a part of my group, how important, like that would just be so beneficial to me. So I'm so thankful for those, the church you're in, the people that you're pouring into, because I know they need you just like we do.
Mm.
So yes, please continue to share.
I wanted to share, you know, for me, thinking about living a life of faith, I am, Scott says he's practical. I am applicational when it comes to the life of Christ. I love the Word of God. I love to study and learn about the Word of God, but also I want to know, how does this apply to me? How do I use this? So when I think practically about faith, you know, what does that look like as a believer? How do I trust God? How do I keep going back to Him over and over and over and saying God's going to be faithful? It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to believe it. It's one thing to say I have faith. It's another thing to live it. And so early in mine and Scott's marriage, I say, you know, we talk about prayer. We were talking about that earlier too. Be careful what you pray, right? And I know one of our prayers early on when we started having children was, and I grew up in a pastor's home. Scott grew up, I've got wonderful in-laws that are Christian. So we are very blessed to have a great heritage of Christian faith. One thing we wanted for our kids in prayer was that our kids did not just hear us speak about faith, but they saw it lived out. And God has answered that prayer. God has answered that prayer. So to live it out, you have to be put in a situation to do so. When I prayed that prayer, when Scott and I prayed that prayer years ago, over 30 years ago, for our kids to see it lived out, I didn't know what I was praying. And He has given us, God has allowed and given so many opportunities for us to live by faith and to trust Him. However, He gives us a choice whether we're going to trust Him, whether we're going to choose to live by faith. So when we're talking about, you know, Scott's giving ministry situations of where he stepped out in faith from positions that God has allowed him to have, or some type of job occupation. There have been many things I can even think personally in my life, and I was going to share practically what I do, and I have it drawn out, but I also think of it mentally as I just have a what I call a faith timeline, and it obviously begins from birth. You can draw a timeline that starts at birth, but my faith journey began from the day I accepted Christ, which was when I was 8 years old. Sadly, on my faith timeline, I was a Christian and I grew, but I stayed a baby Christian until I was in my early 20s. And here's why. Because I went to church. I heard all the things in my home because my parents taught me. I went to church. I heard it at church. I was in an awesome youth group, married someone who was a Christian. And so we started living our life just on what I knew, I would say in my head and yes, in my heart, but I had never had any situation in my life where I had to truly depend on the Lord. And it wasn't until after our first year of marriage where I had a miscarriage. And that was the first thing in my life where I was like, okay, you know, and I may have talked about that on the previous podcast, but that was the first time in my life where I was like, all right, this is not a situation where my husband can fix me, help my emotions or how I feel. My parents can't. I'm going to church, you know, all these things. And it was the first time in my life where I literally had to depend on the Lord to heal me from that. And so that would be a spiritual mark, a faith. I trusted God, forsaking all. I trusted Him. There wasn't anything else that could fix me or help me through that other than God. And then there are other things in our life. And so I could go through and we can talk about ministry moves. We can talk about, you know, their hardships that we may have had with some of our kids or family members. Alopecia is a situation when we were talking on the previous podcast. That was a definite, like, you know, came out of nowhere and kind of derailed me for a little while. We've had some good things where I'm like, okay, God, this is awesome, you know. And so I would encourage someone, if you are a believer, if you're not a believer, and if someone's found this podcast and you're listening and you're like, what is this, you know, walking, keep walking, what do they mean walking? What are core beliefs of Christianity? Christianity is founded on faith. You know, we believe in Jesus Christ because it's whom the Bible says Jesus is. But forsaking all, I'm trusting someone I've really physically never seen, but I know He's real. And I feel it and know it because of whom the Holy Spirit that lives within me, but then the faith and the faith that I live out and that Scott and I live out together. And so I would encourage, if you haven't accepted Christ or don't know who this Jesus is, to type into the podcast, write into to Kelly and to Christy, or contact me, or so, you know, we will share with you who this Jesus is and how you can have a personal relationship, because that's the first step of living a life of faith. But then after accepting Christ, for those who are believers, if you're having a hard time and struggling with, well, I'm here and there and I'm wavering and I don't really understand how to live by faith, faith can ground you. It grounds me. It's our foundation. In these ministry changes that Scott's talking about in our life and things that have happened in our family, I want to say that, you know, we've coasted through and we've just been like, oh, life's going to be, you know, okay. Life is good. But I can tell you, because of a spiritual timeline, because every time there's something in my life, it builds my faith. It strengthens our faith. So I can honestly say that when we have been blindsided or derailed or something came and it wasn't part of our plan, we do know that God, it's His plan. It's His game plan. And we are just players on the field that are trusting, that are to follow Him. And studying the Word helps me know Him better. And when I can go back to my spiritual timeline, I can say, all right, God, I don't understand this. This doesn't make sense. I may not even like it. It's uncomfortable. But I can have peace. And that's the peace that surpasses all understanding, that the world doesn't understand. And the reason I can have peace is because God's done it for me before. I can go back on that timeline and I can say, all right, He did it here. I can go back and say, He did it here. God was faithful here. I didn't understand then. Now I can see. I didn't understand the next time, but now I can see. And because God's been faithful those times, I know He'll be faithful now, even though I can't see.
As we said earlier, Scripture makes it very clear that faith pleases God. You know, and one of the first things, Shannon, I would love for, you know, those of you that are listening, we haven't arrived. We're still learning this journey of faith. If there's anything we've learned, and we've learned so much, I can't live today on yesterday's faith. But I will say that yesterday's faith and God's faithfulness has helped me better live today in faith. Because, you know, as Shannon was talking about, that faith is grounded in Jesus Christ. And my life verse is Philippians 1:6. You know, I'm confident of this. He who began a good work in me will perfect it. And I trust Him to do that, because Jesus is the foundation of my faith. Do things happen in our life that rock that and make you really look and go, okay, what is my life built on? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, you lay down in the bed and you go, okay, God, I know that Jesus is Lord. God, I know that You're sovereign and that You're in complete control. So with that, I'm going to lay down, as the psalmist says, I'm going to lay down in peace and rise in peace. And I heard years ago this quote at a men's meeting on faith. It said, faith is believing God without seeing the evidence. Mm-hmm. You know, and my mind is an evidence type of mind. I want, okay, if I'm going to do this, what will I see? What will happen? You know, but thus there's not faith if you have all the evidence. But the evidence will prove your steps of faith true in the long run. And, you know, a couple things that I'd like to just remind people that may be listening. No one is truly born with this robust faith. Faith is something that is developed in our lives over time. I would love to tell you that, oh, I've got all the faith that I need and I'm there, but I'm not. As long as the Lord leaves me here on planet Earth, my faith continues to grow. But I will say this, that everyone that is a believer has a measure of faith, because at some point they've surrendered their lives and they've placed their faith and trust in Jesus. So there is some trust and faith that's there, but it has to be developed in our lives. And boy, I can look back and see over the last 40 years where God has developed that in my life and during our marriage and with our kids. There's just been those steps of faith. But I do know, like we said, it's impossible to please God without that faith. And so if you're listening today and God is taking you through some challenges, I'd just like to give you a few steps, some things that has helped us. They're not the perfect things, but they're things that's helped us through this journey, because you can either step out in faith or you can step backwards without faith. So three or four things just for you today. Number one, you just got to put yourself in a position to hear from God. And you have to have some quiet time. I don't know what quiet time is for you. For me, it's really, really early in the morning.
For me, it is not really, really early in the morning.
That's exactly right. Yes.
Not so early in the morning.
Yes. But you just got to put yourself in a position. Be in the Word of God. Be still. Be quiet. I'm okay and very passionate about being in the Word, but I struggle to be still and to be quiet. But you've got to place yourself in a position, you know, to hear from God. And if you're sitting still and you're not hearing from God, just begin to read the Word of God, because we know that that's God's Word and His will for our life. And the more you do that, you'll accept more from Jesus in your pursuance of who He is and Him and that personal relationship. As John encourages us to have that abiding, just abiding, and that's just being with Jesus. Jesus said to Matthew and to Mark and all his disciples, follow me. And he says to Christy and to Kelly and to Shannon and Scott and Adriana, he says, follow me. And got to spend that time with him and abide in him.
Scott, I'm just going to interrupt you, because
yes.
I think for me, I agree, like, you know, to be in the Word, but I don't feel like I always have to be still and be sitting in the Word to be hearing from God. I was telling Kelly this week that my prayer every day when I walk into work is, God, show me who, you know, needs a smile, who needs to be heard, who needs to just be listened to. And I think that starts with, okay, God, we're going into work together. And I know that you're going to show me the person. And that may be the only Jesus that somebody sees for that day. So I totally agree that it's not all about being still and being quiet by ourselves. It's giving God the opportunity to speak through us as we go.
Oh, without a doubt. Yes. Faith is not something that is stagnant. Yeah, faith is absolutely something that's always on the move, because we move real quickly from that quiet time into real life, into our busy schedules, whether it's work or marriage or our kids or play, you know, in just the routines of life. But that early morning, or for some people later in the evening, you know, that abiding, being with Jesus, so you kind of know. And then the more time you spend with Jesus in His Word, the more you're going to hear from Him in conversation and prayer, because prayer, I've learned, for a lot of years, my prayers were just me talking to God. But I've learned to discipline myself, and it's because of this faith and not knowing what those next steps of faith are, of saying, okay, God, I have my spiritual ears on. I'm trying to listen to your voice, and God's voice speaks to me through His Word. God's voice speaks to me through the messages of our pastor, through our men's accountability groups. You know, and I've been asked before, have you ever heard audibly the voice of God? And my answer blows some people's minds, because I say yes. And I know some of you already turned the radio off when I said it. But for me, I know what God's voice sounds like. And sometimes it sounds like my wife, because we're in this journey together. But we begin to take those steps of obedience. And for us, the last thing that we do, we've got to continue just to keep saying yes to God. We give Him that blank check, that blank piece of paper, and say, God, wherever, whenever, however, we just want to say yes, before you even ask us what that is. And that's terrifying sometimes, because you're not sure what God might ask you to do.
Yeah.
And if you don't go ahead and say yes and put it on the table, you may not do it. You know, it's that commitment. And I know I don't like to commit to exercise. I don't like accountability partners when it comes to that, because I know I'm saying yes, I'm going to do it, and I can't weasel out. And so when you put your yes on the table with God, you're committing. And you're saying, all right, God, whatever. And that's is scary. Sure. That's where the trust comes in. But he knows best. And that's where we are. We find ourselves right now. Our yes is on the table. And we're like, all right, God, I'm not going to lie. We don't have side conversations where we say, it'd be nice if we were, you know, this, that, and the other. But God, we know you know best. So we are ultimately willing to do what it. Do we want to move again? Not really, but we will. You know, will we stay? Absolutely. You know, God, do you want us to, you know, all these things that we play out in our head, we have those same conversations because we're human. And that's why we need a God. but we also know that He knows best. And so our yes is on the table. We have decided that for the rest of our life, our yes is on the table. And I'd like to say it gets easier. And I just think this journey of faith, it gets more and more difficult in the world that we're living in. And it seems like when God grows your faith, He says, okay, now you're ready. Now I got something else I need. You know, He wants to use us. And He can only use us if we make ourselves available.
Yeah. I just encourage people, you know, they hear others talk about faith, but faith can be yours, you know, and just start where you are. Don't have this plan of watching someone and say, I want to be just like them.
Right.
God wants to work in their life right where they are. So just be obedient today and say yes.
And I think just, you know, what I've hearing from you, what I've thought about all week is that there's kind of two sides to the coin. You know, we have plans, but God directs our steps.
Yeah, sure.
And so we want a formula. Well, if we raise our kids like this, they'll turn out like this. If we eat all the right things, our health will be like this. If, you know, we trust God here, God's going to do this, but He directs our steps.
Yes.
And so that's one side of it, trusting. The other side is His word is filled with promises that we get to choose every day to do. Trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct our steps. So, you know, there's this big picture of it's His plan. He's at work. But it's the day-to-day. We were listening this week to Stephen Furtick, and you can win every day by doing what His word says every day.
And recognize the little wins. We are so quick to one day win, you know, then, you know, when our kids are older, then we can be used when we have more time.
Yeah.
Win this, win that. But every day there's an opportunity
It's simple stuff, just like you said, just smiling at someone who needs a smile, being obedient to what God has for us today. You know, and that's what we talk about. Even in the waiting, there were so many times early in our marriage when we said we were walking by faith. But in the waiting, we were restless. It's like, we don't know what to do. So we were waiting for the next big thing. But what we've learned is do what you know to do today. Be obedient to what God has called you to do today. And then just allow Him to reveal it to you. That's faith, is you just are enough. There is a book out there, and forgive me, I do not know who the author is, but it's just enough light for the step that we're on. I don't even know if I'm quoting it right, but it's basically the whole concept of it is we don't see the whole picture. You don't have enough light to see the whole path. It's just enough for one step at a time, and that's living by faith.
Yeah. And so as we wrap up today, we always like to leave our listeners with something. And I just started a new Bible study this week. And part of the first week was, the author asked a question for me to pray. And that prayer was, what does God love about you? Write it down. And just, I'm so quick to be busy to, let me find a scripture. Let me call somebody. But what you've said, look, listen, be still, and respond to what God says He loves about me and you and you. And sometimes that's hard to be still enough to listen to what God is saying and believe it. And so this week, Christy and I were talking about just slowing down intentionally, looking around, listening and doing, and most of all, being God's girl.
That's right.
Being God's guy.
Right. Yeah. And that might look like a walk on the beach and recognizing the waves going out, the waves coming in, and just being still enough to just appreciate God's goodness, his, you know, his faithfulness in his creation. And it might be, we even talked about just, have you ever just really gone through a garden and picked a flower and really looked at the petals, how delicate the petals of something like a flower are and how precious that is to God. He created that. We are so much more precious to him, and he does love us. And that's our goal, to abide in him. He wants to abide with us. Kelly's word last week was dwell, and I just have thought about that a lot this week. So every week we like to leave our listeners with something, and we would encourage y'all to do the exact same thing. Take a few minutes each day to just hear from God. Give him time. Put your phone down. Quiet your mind. Quiet your heart. And just give him the space to show himself to you this week. We love you. And until next time, keep walking.
Rooted Studio.